As Joe was praying, I was thinking about what a great blessing it is for us as we face the new year to recognize that we can, with real expectancy and gladness, look to this new year as believers, even if we anticipate things that will be painful and sad, because the Lord takes even those things and works them for our good and for His glory. And so this is the confidence we have as Christians. I know sometimes in the throes of all the heartaches and things of life, we don't necessarily think in those terms. But when I reflect upon the past year and times of unhappiness, times even when I was just really scared about something that occurred or something, in more than one occasion, nevertheless, those are occasions now for which we give thanks. And the same is true in the year ahead, and this is who our God is, and He is gracious. Well, this morning I thought I would preach to us on something that we all need from time to time, and maybe we need it now, especially because of this time of year. The Christmas decorations had to be pulled out by many people, and then they have to be put up if they haven't been put up yet. And then we had New Year's Eve last night, and all the activities. We've had the busyness of buying packages and then the busyness of taking them back and exchanging the packages. We've had arguments with family and extended family and aggravations and sickness and travel and all these different things going on. In the back of our mind, we've had all these different things on our mind that we wanted to do that we didn't get to do, and other things that are pressing on us that we would like to do that we wonder if we'll get to all these things. And at different times, all these things weigh in upon us. So what better time of year to address the subject of weariness, which is a subject that is addressed in the Scriptures. Weariness also arises from other things from besides just the holidays. And this is something which I think probably would affect us in our congregation, as I know our congregation, as I know myself, because we are a pretty busy people. We are people who fill our lives with activity. It may not always be purposeful activity, but at least we are people who have our lives full of activity and busyness. There can be weariness then from these things. There can be weariness from long hours at work. There can be weariness that results from ongoing problems within our families, unpleasant work conditions, ongoing sickness within ourselves, or even the caring of those who are ill. Maybe it occurs in one area of life, but not in another area of life. In other words, maybe we could have weariness in connection with our work, but not in our marriage. But in our marriage relationship, there could be real weariness and frustration, but in our work, things are okay. Even though the Christian recognizes that he is blessed of the Lord and thankful, as I mentioned a while ago, it doesn't mean that he is any less weary or tired at times in different areas of his life or in other areas of his life. You and I sometimes have folks that would counsel us, and they would say that we shouldn't have a problem maybe with weariness or something like that because we have so much to be thankful for. Well, we can admit we have a lot to be thankful for, but that doesn't mean that there is not weariness that affects us. Sometimes it seems in all of life, and other times it seems in particular areas of life. Our Lord says, "Come unto me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you shall find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my load is light." Now, I believe that Christ, when He spoke these words, He had in mind particularly the people around Him who were laboring to justify themselves by their own works, or who were at least laboring under the various man-made rules and regulations that the religious leaders had put upon the professing church at that time, but were not those that had come from God. And Christ was saying that God's law was not that way, even as 1 John tells us. And so that they needed to come to Him
for salvation, and they needed to come to Him as a rule of life, and they would find rest for their souls. Now, this is true. But it's also true that in other places in the Scriptures, God speaks to this of His people, that He is not only a Savior to us in our justification and the forgiveness of our sins, but He is a Savior to us in the living of our life. He is the Savior to us in giving us rest and peace and calm and joy and contentment and confidence and all these things. He is a Savior to us in giving us new strength and new energy. He is the one who can give to us the appearance of sunshine in our hearts when all appears to be dreary around us. In Isaiah, we read, He gives strength to the weary, and to him who lacks might, He increases power. Now, some of you may be thinking that these things have nothing to do with you because you are not struggling with these things in your own life. And I'm telling you that this does have to do with you, and I'll give you about four reasons why you need to listen. Number one, you need to listen, and this has to do with you because I'm preaching the Word of God. Okay? And because you and I are responsible to understand the whole counsel of God, so we're looking at this subject. Number two, your day is coming when you will need the instruction of this sermon. Number three, you have Christian friends to help. You have parents, you have children, you have loved ones, you have Christians with whom you have come in contact who need the counsel of God's Word that you can give them. And number four, you may be handling your own weariness right now in wrong ways. You may be throwing money at problems. You may be using alcohol. You may be using sleep. You may be using... Now, there's a legitimate use of sleep, but also sleep can be an escapist thing. You may be using a lot of different things to treat your weariness or lack of strength or lack of even Christian zeal in your life that is not pleasing to God. And so, therefore, you need to examine yourself in that regard. Now, I want to address about five areas of weariness as to how it is treated in Scripture. Okay? I've already mentioned one type where men weary themselves to make themselves righteous. So I'm not addressing that. But here are some other examples. One would be what we would just simply call physical weariness. And this is what we first think about, is physical weariness, just being tired. Like in the Bible, you'd find soldiers who were tired in battle. Or Jesus, who goes on a long journey. He takes a seat by the well to rest. And Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied from his journey, was sitting thus by the well. All right? A second kind would be what I would call a purposeful weariness. And what I mean by that is that it's weariness because you're doing something in a purposeful way. In Proverbs, you have those who work and who work hard and who work diligent, and they become weary from their work. The illustration I just gave about Jesus at the well, he was on a journey. He would be teaching. He would be doing ministry. And so it was physical, but it was also purposeful, this weariness that he experienced. You have the example of Gideon and his army as they are pursuing their enemies. And it's a great picture of people weary but still keeping on. Here's this verse from Judges 8. Then Gideon and the 300 who were with him came to the Jordan and crossed over, weary yet pursuing. And we can identify with that. Times when we still have to keep on even though we are quite weary. And then a final example would be the Apostle Paul. You read 1st and 2nd Corinthians, the things he went through for the gospel. You get weary just thinking about all this stuff that he lists of what he did for these Corinthians and other believers. A third kind of weariness is what I would call a wasteful weariness. Wasteful weariness. In other words, there are examples of Scripture of people who are either enemies of God or who ignore Him and who work hard and all their work and all their weariness is for nothing. They ignore God and He eventually brings their labors to nothing. Listen to these verses. I'm not going to give you all these references there in the sermon outline. And I'm just going to read the verses off to you. Is it not indeed from the Lord of hosts that people toil for fire? It's going to be burned. Their fruit's going to be burned. And nations grow weary for nothing. The toil of a fool wearies him that he cannot even know how to go to a city. And your strength shall be spent uselessly. From Leviticus. Hard work doesn't always pay off. Some hard work God brings to nothing. Instead, in every occupation, the rule is not work hard. And sometimes you'll hear this. People will say hard work is what you always need. Hard work is not the answer. The answer is this. Work hard and work smart. That's the answer. You can work hard at things that are fruitless. And you are not working smart if you don't recognize God. It's just like Proverbs teaches us that God is the beginning of wisdom. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom and all that. God is at the root of our knowledge and understanding. So all learning begins with God. And all work, if we work smart, has to take God into consideration, whether it's at home or at the office or anywhere else. Therefore, because a person is tired from their labor doesn't necessarily mean that their labor they do is pleasing to God. There's also another kind of wasteful weariness, and that is the wasteful weariness of where people are just tired from partying. They're tired from drinking, they're tired from partying, they're tired from boozing it up. And you may know people like that that you work with. You may know people like that with whom you go to college. They're worn out. They are worn out simply because they live a life of partying and playing and whatever. Fourthly, there is a weariness that can be called a scary weariness. This scary weariness is that God is weary of His people. Not that He is tired physically, but He is weary of them in like this way. I hate your new moon festivals and your appointed feasts. They have become a burden to me. I am weary of bearing them. He is weary of the hypocrisy of their worship. You have wearied the Lord with your words. Yet you say, how have we wearied Him? In that you say, everyone who does evil is good in the sight of the Lord, and He delights in them. Or where is the God of justice? Here were people involved with God, but they wearied Him in the sense that that they did not take to heart His truth or Himself. So here is God weary of people. And that's why I say that's a scary thing. Isn't it scary to think that God is weary of us, that He gets tired of us? The other scary kind of weariness is God's people being wearied of the Lord. They're tired of His laws. They're tired of His ways. They're tired of His worship. They're tired of His rules. Some of you this morning may be in that place. You're tired of God's worship. You're tired of His rules. You're tired of all this stuff. And you're weary of God. And that's a very, very scary thing. And you need to deal with that. You need to humble yourself. You need to recognize that that's a problem. And you need to confess that sin to God and ask His help and seek Him, because it's a very scary thing when we become weary of God and things that have to do with God. Yet you have not called on me, O Jacob, but you have become weary of me, O Israel. Not praying. My people, what have I done to you? And how have I wearied you? Answer me. Finally, a fifth example would be a sinful weariness, which is as opposed to Christian zeal. The conflict between a sinful weariness in the saints and the zeal that they are to have for the glory of God and confessing Christ. And I mention this as something less than the scary weariness, but if this weariness is not addressed properly, it will turn into that scary weariness where we are wearied ourselves of the Lord. That there is a weariness at times in the Christian life that may come to us must always be dealt with Christians. What is, first of all, the ideal of Christian zeal? The disciples remember that Christ said, zeal for thy house will consume me. Zeal for the people of God, the glory of God, the worship of God. Jesus said to His disciples, my food is to do the will of Him who sent me and to accomplish His work. Here is real zeal. And then in Titus, speaking of us in regard to Christ, who gave Himself for us that He might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for Himself a people for His own possession, zealous for good works. That we are zealous for good works. But what happens sometimes is that zeal is replaced with weariness.
Weariness that is described as losing heart in what we read a while ago. In Galatians 6:9, let us not lose heart in doing good, for in due time we shall reap if we do not faint. Losing heart in our labors and in our work so that we say to ourselves, what's the use? Losing heart in our Christian profession so that we are not careful to follow Christ. Here are some things we may be disappointed with little or no results from the work or the witness that we give. We may be discouraged with the attitude of other Christians who don't carry out their responsibilities as they relate to you or the church or something we're involved in. We may become weary because of our duties that aren't done. Our responsibilities start to be ignored. Our difficulties or problems in some area of the Christian life become exaggerated to us. Our disobedience, we rationalize. And so we become weary, and that's the effect that it has. Weariness replaces that zeal. Weariness affects not just special projects or obligations, but ordinary everyday activities like personal Bible reading and home and family obligations and the routine work that we do in our jobs. What happened? What happened that weariness overcame Christian zeal? Maybe there were physical factors of general health that affected us. Maybe we were trying to do too much and the list was too long and we had too much on us. Maybe we looked more at the difficulties instead of the Lord, or we didn't believe that the Lord was really with us or could help us or knew us best. Maybe we didn't get what we wanted and what we hoped for, and so we didn't get what we wanted, therefore we tired of the Lord. Maybe He was not meeting our expectations, or other people were not meeting our expectations. Maybe we became driven by our work or something for its own sake, that we became driven by a project or the goal that we had rather than the Lord, and we became weary. Our zeal was replaced because we grew proud, trusting in what we can do and what we know and who we are. We became reckless in our walk with the Lord. We tolerated sin in our lives that we knew that He disapproved of. We put up with things that we knew that He did not approve of. And so our relationship to Him was not what it ought to be. And it was easy for weariness to overtake Christian zeal in our lives. We became reckless in our thinking that we can get along with some without normal Christian disciplines of the Christian life, like word and prayer and worship. We believed that we could substitute the reading of some Christian novel or some Christian book or doing some work on some committee in the church for our own personal prayer and devotion. We came up with excuses to make ourselves absent from the worship of God because we had other things we had to do. Maybe we abandoned our other Christians by becoming immersed in our own problems. We became very inwardly focused and we wearied ourselves just because we were so preoccupied with ourselves. Any of these things can be the case. And this is what happens. And so you have weariness that comes to us physically. You have it in different areas of life and you have it at times come over us in the Christian, replacing Christian zeal, so that we become dull and numb, as it were, and our zeal is not what it ought to be. Well, God is our Savior for all types of weariness. And this is the point I made a while ago about Christ being our Savior in all areas of life. The Lord gives us plenty to enjoy in life, but He is to be our salvation, not things. The answer to weariness in our lives, whether it's in our personal life, our public life, family life, social life, church life, work life, school life, whatever aspect of life it is, the answer to our weariness is the Lord. Our salvation is not in spending money for a new car or a vacation. It's not in changing jobs or spouses or houses, but the answer is the Lord. Now, the Lord may direct us to change jobs or to take a trip for rest, but we must never see the answer to weariness or gaining new strength in all areas of life and in areas of our Christian profession and Christian zeal. We must see that the answer is ultimately in the Lord. So that we do our work as unto the Lord. We serve the Lord. And He is our salvation. We cannot
We cannot put the Lord in a category that He is our Savior for weariness in our Christian profession, but somehow in my work, there's this new book on work I have to read. No, what we have to do is we read that new book on work, maybe that has to do with our work, but we read it through the lens of God's Word and God's truth, and we redeem what it is that we read in light of God's truth, and that is how He is a Savior to us, if there is material there that, to help us in our work.
The Israelites were no different than us. They worried about a lot of things. They wearied themselves with their enemies and the concern about crops and illnesses and all kinds of things. And yet the Lord reminds them that He is their salvation. Here's the extended portion of that scripture I read a while ago. "Why do you say, O Jacob, and assert, O Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord, and the justice due me escapes the notice of my God? Do you not know, have you not heard, the everlasting God, the Lord, the Creator of the ends of the earth, does not become weary or tired. His understanding is inscrutable. He gives strength to the weary, and to him who lacks might, He increases power. Though youths grow weary and tired, and vigorous young men stumble badly, yet those who wait for the Lord will gain new strength. They will mount up with wings like eagles. They will run and not get tired. They will not walk and not become weary." And so God gives strength, okay, at whatever age we are and in whatever condition. That doesn't mean that you'll be able to leap over buildings in a single bound, but it does mean, or, you know, stop a train, but it does mean that He gives new strength. Sometimes He gives us great strength in the midst of our bodies, even being horribly weary. We may be strengthened in the inner man in such a way that it addresses and overcomes even our physical weariness. Well, let me give us 10 practical things to consider and to do in dealing with weariness as it affects us as servants of Christ seeking to live this life for the glory of God. How to maintain good Christian zeal to confess Christ, and how to address the weariness that overcomes us in our work world, in family obligations and responsibility, in marriage and parenting, and relating to our extended family, all these various things. Number one, we must honestly examine and confront ourselves. So teach us to number our days that we may present to Thee a heart of wisdom. Everything from health issues that need to be addressed, how taking care of our bodies, diet, exercise, and sleep, how to spend time, to all things that we are trying to do. We have to address these things. And so this is all areas of life, diet, exercise, sleep, all these things. We have to ask ourselves, are we trying to do too much? Is our list too long? Are there ways to work smarter? Are there ways to delegate responsibilities? Are there things that on my list I don't need to do? Listen, Christ didn't do everything that He was capable of doing in life. Do you understand that? Christ did not do everything that He was capable of doing. There came a time when He said, okay, I'm not going to go over there today and heal people. He didn't do everything He could have done. We have to prioritize what are the things that are most important, and God's Word helps us understand what our priorities are. And we cannot postpone. Don't do this postponing of priorities where, well, this is most important, but right now it's not most important. Yes, it is most important. Things like family and seeking the Lord by His Word and prayer and worship. Number two, we must remember that we are instruments and servants of God, not saviors. Remember Elijah. After wonderful deed of killing the prophets of Baal, he runs from Jezebel. God physically refreshes him, but he has to give God an account about how the weight of everything is on him. And the Lord tells him that he is the one, not Elijah, who is governing things and who has a people. Moses at times complained as though everything was on him as well. And sometimes we have the same Savior complex. Many of us would be insulted if somebody told us that, but many of us still act that way sometimes, whether it's family or church things or other things. We act as though everything depends upon us, and the load that we carry becomes too heavy. And we put the load on ourselves. It did not come from the Lord, but it came many times because we chose that. We cannot change people or situations.
That's the Lord's to do. All we can do is to be faithful servants of the Lord in the present and plan to do that in the future. Number three, we must renew our minds. God must govern our thinking. I urge you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. And do not be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the will of God, and that which is good and acceptable and perfect. So our minds have to be renewed in that we understand success not by how the world interprets success, but how God's Word interprets it, by being faithful, by being honorable, by having integrity. If you're going to be a slave to what everyone else thinks, you will never find rest. If you live by the world's opinion, you will never know what to do because the world is going to be always giving you, saying different things. You and I, you're at college, you're at work, you're among friends. We do care about what other people think, and that's nothing wrong with that. But we have to keep in our mind, first of all, what is it that pleases the Lord, and what is it that He wants me to do? And it's just, you cannot live trying to please everybody.
Well, you can try, but you can live that way, and you're going to be a mess. You are a mess. That's all. That's just it. You're a mess. You're a slave to what everybody else thinks. Jesus liberates us from that. Number four, we must pray. Cry to the Lord for help in your weariness. Cry to the Lord for help. Yes, you have sinned much and foolishly, but there's this thing about the Lord, and that is that when we come broken and cry to Him for help, He hears us. And don't just pray once. If we can talk with God and pour out our hearts to Him, why would we only do it occasionally? You have this great privilege of you know, our spouses don't understand us at times. Our children don't understand us. Our parents don't understand us. Our friends don't understand us. But God does understand us, you see. We can pour out our hearts to Him, and He understands us. And even when we don't know how to pray, we can ask the Holy Spirit to intercede for us. We can pray that prayer. Number five, we must humble ourselves and acknowledge our own weakness. This means more than having a good understanding of humility from Scripture. It means being able to explain it to God in prayer. It means that we humble ourselves and acknowledge that we are not super people. But we acknowledge our weakness. Not just acknowledge it as a theological truth. You see, there's one sense in which you can acknowledge something as a theological truth. There's another sense in which you can acknowledge it because it's real to you. Number six, we must give and receive encouragement in the Christian community.
Some of you shut others out of your life so that no Christian can be of help to you in your weariness. And that is wrong because we are supposed to bear one another's burdens. And just like you need to receive love. Others need to give love. You are opposing Christ's order for the church in your weariness to be so self-closed in. You say you are a very private person. This is not good. At least there has to be a few believers that you trust who are able to minister to you in this way. Then there's the other extreme in the church. You are so caught up with how weary you are that all you have going on that everybody else has forgotten. Your prayers are only filled with your problems and how hard you have it or things that pertain to your family. Your feelings are hurt because everyone else isn't thinking of you. And you say that you have so much on you that you cannot be caring about others. This also is wrong. It's sinful. Other people have trials that weigh them down, and you can be a help and an encourager to them, and you can include them in your prayers and a word of comfort and encouragement. We are a body to minister to one another. We're not to be so closed that others can't get to us, and we're not to be so closed that we don't care about anybody else. Number seven,
we must live with singleness of purpose in seeking to please the Lord. That verse from where Jesus says, "My food is to do the will of Him who sent me and to accomplish His work." It is the Lord who we ultimately serve, not men or ourselves, not all the requirements that others make for us or we create for ourselves. Number eight, we must strive to believe God's promises to be our help and salvation. Now, I'm not reading all these scriptures. I'm running out of time. I have to just give these to you. But the scriptures are there for you to read. But
Here's number eight. We must believe God's promises. Just like for the new year, we must believe His promises and labor to believe them. Because there are a lot of times that we read His promises in His Word and we have a hard time believing that He's going to refresh us or work things out or do good and all this other kind of stuff. And so we have to work at that. Number nine.
We must confess and be forsaking all known sin. We must not expect the Lord to hear our prayers for help if we're holding on to sin in our lives that we know displease Him.
If you're holding on to sin in your life that displeases Him, don't expect Him to bless you in that sin while you hold on to that sin. You must be confessing it and forsaking it. Now, you may not have a handle on it to where you don't fall into it again, but the point is that you are acting to repent of sin. Maybe there are things that you're not doing, sins of omission, and you know you ought to be doing certain things. There again, that is that if we're not doing those things which Christ commands of us, then we have no reason to expect Him to hear our prayers.
We must confess and be forsaking all known sin. And finally, we must use our periods of weariness as any other trial that might come upon us. Sometimes the Lord gives us quick answers and quick strength, but other times He does not. Sometimes it becomes what we would say a trial. In other words, there sometimes it may just be for a few days, and the Lord refreshes us and blesses us and teaches us as we humble ourselves. But other times it doesn't. It may go on for weeks and months. It may even be for years. And if that's the case, then you just treat it like an ordinary trial. Like in Hebrews 12, where it says that God disciplines us for our good. In other words, that there's going to be good coming out of this for our own personal holiness and growth and grace. And so the weariness that we're under, it may be sickness, it may be another person that you have to deal with. Whatever it is, the weariness then can then be, as it were, a trial that the Lord uses for your good and for His glory.
Today you and I come to the Lord's table. By our coming to this table, we confess that we have come to Christ for rest, for salvation, for the forgiveness of sins, and for Him to be the Lord our righteousness. But Christ is to be to us rest in life as well. He is the cure. He is our salvation for all the weariness that we bring on ourselves or that comes our way that we can't help. And we are to enjoy Him as a great Savior to us in all things. He loves us. What a blessing it is that we come to His table. We come to be refreshed, knowing that He loves us, He forgives us, He is for us, He will help us with weariness and every other thing. He is a wonderful Savior to our souls. Amen.